Open your Bibles to Mark 10. Mark 10, that's where we're going to be today. Today's story in Mark 10 has some plot twist that you won't see coming. Jesus does something shocking. And in our day, we are tempted to think that he missed his opportunity. That's how we would have sorted this out. I was so affected by this Bible text that I stressed about this sermon more than normal. And I don't want anyone to miss Jesus' point here, because salvation is what's at stake. It's the issue of eternal life, not opinions. So to be clear, at the start, the most severe delusion that you can tell yourself, the most severe delusion that you can even think, is that you are good. We'll say things like, well, I'm not perfect, but I still have some good in me. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're not 25% good. You're not 10% good with a few mistakes. And I just want to read this story to you today, and I want you to feel the tension. I want you to feel the tension. This is Jesus' words to somebody who we would have said, he's the number one round draft pick. Here we go. Mark chapter 10, starting in 17, the rich young ruler. It's going to shock you. I've read this story a bunch, but I missed it. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, that's good, knelt down and asked, good teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? We would have thought, he's in. Jesus responded, why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. He's dealing with his goodness. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone, and honor your father and mother. Happy Mother's Day. Teacher, the man replied, get this, I've obeyed all of these commandments since I was young. Looking at the man, look at this, Jesus felt genuine love for him. This is going to shock you. There's still one thing you haven't done. He told him, go, sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. 22. At this, the man's face fell. He walked away sad because he had many possessions. That's the end of the story. We would have messed that one up. Look at, Jesus looked around, let's finish this out. He looked around and he said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. This amazed them. Because in their day, they thought if you had money and you had health, God's favor obviously was on you. And they were amazed at this. And he said, dear children, it's very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a sewing needle than for a rich person to enter kingdom. The disciples were astounded. They're just blown away. They go, well, then who in the world can be saved? They asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But not with God. Everything is possible with God. Then Peter began to speak up. He should have been stayed quiet. We've left everything to follow you. You would have thought Jesus would have congratulated him. Look at this. Yes, Jesus replied, and I assure you that everyone who's given up house or brothers or sisters or mother, sorry, mom, or father or children or property for my sake and the sake of the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, property, along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be least important then. And those who seem the least important now will be the greatest then. That's a handful right there. I always read that story thinking it was about the man's stuff. always thought it was about how much stuff he had. It's not about his stuff. Jesus is challenging this sinner's sense of his own goodness. That's the point of the story. People don't even think they need a savior because in their brains and in their hearts, they're not that bad. This is a prime example here. If you were to randomly, I should do this sometime, take all the people that walk the triangle, and I should say, are you a good person? It's going to be days and days and days before I find someone that says, I'm one of the bad ones. We all think we're pretty good. And the shocking part to me, learning this story, this was the shocking part, was that superficial interest in religion must be confronted. This was the shocking part. You're kind of labeled as a stay out of my business if you confront somebody. Superficial religion must be confronted. Even in Jesus' day, religion was full of superficial seekers, fake seekers. You can look very religious on the outside, as this man did. And you can even appear to trick everyone, maybe even trick yourself. But inside, you truly have nothing of genuine value when it comes to faith. This is an issue of whether or not you are saved. It's not an issue of your stuff. Think of the example of this guy. Just go through it with me. We think he was a leader of a synagogue. We think he was the leader of what we would call church for a Jew. Read the scripture, sing some songs. We think that's who he was. Very religious guy. Here's the catch. He didn't want God. And Jesus confronts this man with what is the most valuable to you? What? He's offering this guy a choice between choosing God or choosing himself. And he's offering you guys the same choice. Do you choose God or do you choose yourself? He didn't want God because the cost was too high. Superficial seekers, no matter what they say, are unwilling to receive the kingdom. And Jesus exposes that. This has got me this week. This guy loved earth more than he loved heaven. It's clear. He went away sad. This guy loved himself more than he loved God. And this guy loved his stuff more than he loved Christ. And here is what bothered me the most, and I need to change, not Jesus. We would have thought that this guy was the first pick on the team. We would have thought that this guy is crossing all his T's, dotting all his I's, and he is so pleasing to God. How wrong we would have been. We even read this and go, did Jesus miss his opportunity? A guy comes running up to Jesus and kneels down and says, what do I got to do to be saved? We would have been like, you're already in. This is what gets us comparing our goodness. When we compare ourselves to other sinners, we think we're pretty good. But when we compare ourselves to God alone, the only one who dwells in the most high place, only then do we see our real need for a savior. So this is terrifying to me. Imagine being dismissed on judgment day, thinking that your whole life you were a Christian when you really weren't. Just put yourself there for a second. Your entire life, like this man, he thought, I have obeyed all of this since I was youth. I've just been crushing it. Imagine being dismissed on judgment day, thinking your whole life that you were a Christian when you really weren't. Verse 21, looking at the man, Jesus loved him. He loved him, and what he does in love is he exposes the man's hypocrisy, that he's really a blasphemer of God, and then he lets the guy walk away. What? Dude, Jesus didn't run him down and try to soften the message and say, "I'm sorry, I chased you away." Sometimes we think that, like, oh, he was so close to believing, and then I said something that offended him. No. He didn't run the guy down and try to barter with him, strike a deal, and say, "Well, actually, if you just, like, give 10%, then you're in." No. He exposed the guy's love of himself and let him walk away. So I say this with passion. God's word will either drive you to Christ or it will drive you away. That's all it's going to do. God's word will either drive you to Christ or it will drive you away, exposing that you never wanted God in the first place. If you want an accurate gauge to test your spiritual maturity, it is how much you depend on Christ. That's the gauge. How much do you depend on Christ? If you think you have some good in you to offer, you will have little to no dependence on Christ, because you're basically not that bad, and we all automatically go to heaven. But if you despise your own goodness, all you have to do for that is just get married. Your own goodness will just go away. If you despise your own goodness, that you come with anything to offer, you will have high dependence on Christ. That's a real gauge of your spiritual maturity. You will see his value, his worth, and you won't fake it. You know the saying that if you see a turtle on a fence post, you know it didn't get there by himself? The same is true of a sinner placing their faith in Christ. You didn't get there because you figured it out, or you were one of the good ones. In his grace, he reached down and said, "Open his eyes." So the question I have for you is, do you see Jesus as valuable enough to surrender your whole life to? Do you see him as valuable enough to surrender your whole life to him, or do you still love your stuff? Peter says, this is the second part, and I'll go faster. Peter says, "We've given up everything to follow you." We really would think, like, wow, what sacrifice, Peter. And the point is, Jesus is saying, you're just too earthly minded to see it, Peter. He says to him, If you were to survey every single martyr who suffered for the kingdom right now, and you ask them, was it worth it? Every single one of them would say, yes, so worth it. Trade my life to get Christ. If you ask every Christian in heaven right now who gave up this life in order to get Christ, they would all say it's worth it. And the opposite is true. The opposite, if you went into hell and you surveyed hell, was clinging to your 40, 50, 60 years of life worth it? In exchange, you didn't get Christ because you loved this life? They would all say, I wish I had a redo. Luke 16 tells that. But to end, Jim Elliot, he's a missionary to the Ecuador Indians. 1950s, he died there. And he famously said, you are no fool to give up what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose. You're not a fool to give up what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot be taken from you. Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is saying to Peter. You're not giving up anything. Don't pat yourself on the back that you made some great sacrifice. I'm telling you to put down the trinket in exchange for the treasure. And we're like, I don't know if it's worth it. Jesus is pleading with you today, asking, am I worth it to you? Is he worth it to you? Martin Lloyd-Jones, 1927, he was a medical doctor. Medical doctor in big terms. In London, he was the chief assistant to the Queen. He was the chief medical physician under Sir Lord Horder. I know you know this, Jared. Anyways. He took a 90% pay cut to become a preacher. But here's the point. People often praised Martin Lloyd-Jones for his great sacrifices he made. Giving up second in command to the Queen to be a physician, all of a sudden to go preach. And in his own words, Martin Lloyd-Jones says, I gave up nothing. Because Christ is that valuable. He said in his own words, I would fix their bodies only to send them back to die. And so he became known as the heavenly doctor, Martin Lloyd-Jones. You could still listen to some of his sermons today. They were recorded in the 70s, so they sound like, well, open your Bibles to chapter 2 of Mark. You really got to want to listen to him. But here's what I want to say. If you see Christ as worth everything to you, if you really see Christ as worth everything, the trade for your life will seem like nothing. That's the point of Mark 10. That's the point of the rich young ruler. It wasn't about his stuff. It was that he wanted this life more than he wanted God. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. If this story wasn't here, I would barely believe it. Help us to change things in our hearts where we are fine with people living in superficial religiousness. I pray that we would have genuine love for people as we confront them to ask if they really even want you. And then I pray as we sing these last two songs that they would not be just music in a room, but worship to your ears. In Jesus' name, amen.